taste them there.
No. Hello, welcome to the big show. Yes, it's me, Ewan, and I'm back. And 2 weeks running now, after a whole summer off. I actually had a day off yesterday. Me and Jack went shooting, and it was great fun. We went out to the place where I do clay pigeon shooting, and we had a great day, and it was superb. And it's the first day off since July. So I feel refreshed today and ready to go. Joining me to discuss the week in tech, we've got Patrice, who's going to come in potentially because Righty Boy's not coming apparently, but we've been sat waiting for half an hour for him already. There's a surprise. Top left, it's Doctor. How you doing, bud?
Aloha.
The Doctor.
Welcome to the show.
Wait, thanks for the advice on the headphones, dude, but I've ordered them and they ain't coming.
It's crazy. You know what's funny is I believe Lee has the more modernized version of the one that I have, and then you're going to have the latest ones that's slightly newer than even his, but they're great headphones. These have lasted me about 5 years.
So the backstory of this is I actually wanted a set of headphones where I could put them on and I'd hear what the mix was like on my videos, but I don't need to get to like a reference set or anything and spend a grand on them. But Doc gave me the ones that he picked the other week, the Audio Technica.
ATH M30s, 40s or 50s.
Yeah, but I got suckered. You see, I saw Prime and I was like, oh, free. So I clicked it and it was like, ah, no, not free. And actually, we're going to send them probably from Germany. And don't forget, Prime just means free delivery. Mm-mm-mm, it doesn't mean next day. So I'm not getting them until next bloody week. Pissed off. Nick, go on, Doc.
No, I was going to say, I told him to drive down and borrow Lee's, and he said, no, I'm just going to order it.
next to Doc, it's Jeff. Where you been, buddy? A whole summer without Jeffrey for me.
I feel like it's just been forever. It's so great to be back on the show with you.
Good, man. Yeah. Righty's good and all that kind of thing, but you can't beat the real thing.
No, it's a different thing. And that's okay that I have a different thing with you and with him.
I can assure you that my thing is different from Righty's.
I'll trust you for now.
Okay, mate. You well? Are you well, Jeffrey?
Oh, yes. Yes. Good. But apparently I'm incapable of answering by opening my mouth and speaking. In my head I said yes.
did you see the moist list that you were on?
I'm on a moist list again?
Oh, you're on... I did the moist list rundown to the countdown from we'll put it a link in the chat room, but it was the top 40 countdown that used to run in the UK in the 60s. I shall find you a link, mate. I'll find you a link.
Awesome.
And last but by no means least is Mr. Lee Peterson, man of the guitar show, who has done a guitar show that I haven't had time to edit yet. I'm sorry, mate. I will get it up this week.
That's what I've been telling the old lady.
Hi guys, yeah, it's nice to be back on the big show.
Excellent, mate. How have you been?
I'm good.
Good summer or not?
Yeah, I had a couple of holidays, but, back into it with work now.
Are they a new set of specs?
No.
I thought they were different. They looked a bit different.
I think I'm probably a bit closer to the camera this week, so. That's
all. The week in tech, what's been going on, what's been happening, what's going off, and what's good and what's bad. I am going to start off. I'm going to pull rank here, and I'm going to put in the first story. And it's a current story because it's actually a post in the Register from 2012. Christ, I'm up to date like Greenie. The other day, Chris Hadfield posted out, Commander Hadfield, posted out a picture of the Mars rover had taken a picture of itself, and there it is. There's the selfie of Curiosity rover on the Martian surface. And I looked at that and I thought, wow, that is a stunning picture. And it's now the desktop backdrop that I've got on the computer. And then I looked at it and I thought, hang on, that shadow's a bit weird. And then I thought to myself, has it done that then? Because I don't think it's got a GoPro on a drone that can fly around it. But has it taken a picture without anything holding it? So I sat here today and I thought, right, I'm going to Google that. And I actually worked out, thanks to a thing from the Register, which I've just posted in the chat room, how it does it. So that is how the Curiosity rover takes a picture of itself. And it's in the register. It goes back to 2012. And all the Tinfoil Brigade, or Tinfoil Hat Brigade, are going to go, ah, you see, it's actually a warehouse in Pasadena. It's not. The Curiosity Rover taking a picture of itself. So come on then, chaps. How does the Curiosity Rover take a picture of itself and make it look like that?
Space-time continuum?
I can tell you.
Go for it, Jeff.
Okay. So as the R moves around, it's taking a series of photos. Those photos are stitched together in a mosaic. And when they're stitched together, they're stitched in such a way that the parts where the camera arm would be is out of the shot. So when you get all the pieces together, you end up with a full image without having the robot's camera arm obscuring any part.
Yeah. And I should, the thing is, as a photographer, I should have been able to work that out, couldn't I? But no, I couldn't. I had to read the article to find out why. So basically, what you're seeing there is an image of 50 shots, and it took an entire day for the scientists to get Curiosity to shoot those 50 shots. And then what it does is they layer them on top of each other because they overlap, and they make sure they overlap in such a way as the arm doesn't show. How simple is that? And clever.
And it's brilliant, and it's awesome. And then we get crazy awesome pictures like this.
And that's why I don't send Martian probes out to Mars, because I'm not even frigging clever enough to work out how it takes a selfie. And I'm a photographer. What a twat. There you go. And that's why there's loads of blurred bits on the bottom of the picture that I took from Commander Hadfield this week. So it is this week's news because old Chris did tweet it out, but it is bloody awesome.
That's cool, isn't it?
That's my desktop picture at the moment, and I've got it on my big monitor, my 34-inch 21:9 ratio monitor, and it's a stunning, stunning picture. On another world. In a world. There you go. So it's not exactly a news story, but it
that
is.
That was pretty good.
That's all right. That was
a very good, I forgot the dude's name now.
I don't know why I went first, because I didn't think any of you were going to pick that one, because it was from 2012. you can see the arm as a shadow, Ewan. No, you can't. That's not the arm. It's the head. And it's not actually Mars at all, says Windrider. It's a conspiracy. Yeah, there we go, mate. Go back into the bed and put your tinfoil hat on. So it's not really a tech story, but it is. That's mine. Sorry to tap scrap. Boys, what have you got for us? Come on. What is the actual news of the week?
All right, so I got a good one.
Go for it.
And this is in a way, it really ties into stuff we talked about last week. But then, I don't know if you guys heard about it yet. Of course, it may have made international news. It made national news yesterday. There was a 14-year-old kid in Texas who made a clock and took it to school, and the teachers freaked out, overreacted, said it was a bomb, had a poor kid arrested. It was super stupid. It was typical Texas.
Have you got a link to that? Because I want to read that, because that sounds like a pile of bollocks.
You can pick any U.S. news outlet. It's on the first freaking page. Let me grab one for you. Synonym.
And that was going to be my story, but I'll find story. Something else.
So
what I just dropped into the chat was the link from the White House inviting him to come meet President Obama.
Right. Because the White House was like, you guys are freaking idiots. And also, Steve, the living Steve, said that he's a modern-day hero. The kid is a modern-day hero.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, anyway, what that giant obtrusive segue leads to is one of the conversations that came out. What the heck is this? Sorry. CNN's playing a commercial in my ear, and I can't stop it. No, stop it. Freaking agency. Anyway, what this leads to is a conversation that no one would freak out if we were better equipped to understand electronics and, you know, computer science and technology and all of that stuff, right? So, perfect timing. The city of New York says that they're going to make computer science mandatory. Just like we used to all have to take Spanish and French here in the U.S., computer science is going to be mandatory within the next couple of years. And
excellent.
This way, they could take a broad swipe at the conversation we spoke briefly about last year about people still saying that there's growing, you know, criticism over the lack of women and minorities in these fields. And also just in general, like, if I'm a state and I wanted to state, and I bring this up in Hawaii all the time at these various meetings we have with, you know, these people who supposedly have some power. If you guys want to quit talking about budget constraints and what we're having a problem with infrastructure and all of that, one of the things we need to do is, like right now, start the kids in, say, high school with some pretty high-level computer science. So that way, in 4 years, when they graduate from college, they're ready to move into, while you're still talking about what new systems you'll be able to put in place, you're going to have people that can come in and put both physical, logical stuff in place, but that can actually write some of the software that will make it so that it doesn't take 20 minutes at the tax office just to pay a quarterly tax.
So, Doc, just reel back a fraction here, because I want the link that you've just posted, I've just clicked on, and I'm doing a double take here. According to New York City Department of Education, only 10% of public schools in the Big Apple offer classes.
Yeah.
Forget about enforcing everyone to do it. There's only 10% of schools that actually have the facility to offer.
And that's the better school system. New York City School Department is one of the better ones in the entire country.
So how shit is Hawaii then in comparison?
Oh, or anywhere else? We don't even have that conversation for fear of embarrassing my hometown.
Do it. Come on. Out.
So I'm going to probably say it's somewhere in the ordinance of 2 to 4%. I mean, I could probably go and find the real answer by a couple Google fluing, but somewhere in the ordinance of 2 to 4%. And now, I supported DOE through Apple for years. Like, that was part of my gig. And the stuff that they would do, they would get these grants and this money, and they would buy all the computers, but then the teachers would, like, sequester them in the closet. And you're like, well, why aren't they using them? Well, we don't want the perverts to get to them. Or we don't want there to be, you know, all the viruses and then the viruses to get onto the school network. I'm like, it's a mag, dummy. There's no viruses, especially at this point, right? We're talking white plastic iBooks, right? And so, yeah, like, it's pretty crazy the dumb things that teachers will put in place in order to stop the kids from using, even though the schools will have been given computers by, you know, grants or something happened or whatever the case may be. Or the funniest ones, we don't want them to play games all day. Well, why don't you let them play games that help them learn what you're trying to teach them? Or why don't you teach them how to make said games? And then they'll be playing it for a good reason. So the private schools here are off the hook. We win national robotics champions and all of that stuff. But a lot of the public schools, you have just teachers who don't know how to use it. And so because they don't know how to use it, they block the student.
Yeah, I mean, I used Redstone in Minecraft to teach Ellis about electricity. And he was like, yeah, okay, got you. So you can do AND and OR gates. And I said, that's computing. One on, one off. AND and OR. Right, okay, cool. And then he went to school and he did a session with one of the teachers where they got a lemon and they stuck two electrodes in the lemon and it lit a light up. And he said, and we did something today about this lemon going in. I said, well, that's what we talked about, electricity. What? That's electricity. It's electrical current, positive to negative, or negative to positive, actually. And it's just like I showed you in Redstone. He went, oh, right, okay. So they just hadn't connected the two that they were talking about electricity. And it's like, oh. But the thing is, see, my son gets... Now, let's define what computer science is, because my son does computing at school. He is told he is doing computer science at school. And he's learning to use a spreadsheet and Word and create desktop publishing stuff, in inverted commas, and use applications. And I said to the teacher when I went to the parents' evening, so when does he start coding? He said he doesn't start coding in years 1 to 5. He doesn't start coding until he gets to sixth form.
Yeah, so that's the thing here too. Like, you know, the schools have all made it mandatory to know how to use the basics app because that's how they do their homework. And they count that as computer class. And I'm like, yeah, that's not it. That doesn't make you any better than the average granny.
No.
But one of the stories in The Verge, which I thought was pretty funny, is the guy is having a conversation with one of the girls. And she's like, I don't really like math, but she's walking him through a JavaScript function to do an interactive, you know, photo gallery on a web page that she technically built from scratch. So she doesn't even realize that that's math. That's cool. Now, when you're in that level of computer science where they're doing the logic without knowing that they're doing the logic, and then, you know, they'll later figure that out as they go up to grades. That stuff is cool. And then that way you're able to get them on, you know, quantization and, you know, physics and some of the stuff that they probably wouldn't even take a look at if it weren't for video games.
There's a great quote from G.H. Hardy. Physicists defer to mathematicians and mathematicians defer to God. That should get anyone into maths.
I think a lot of it depends on your teachers. I mean, I went to, well, be school like over 20 years ago, and this was like, you know, comprehensive, so ages like 13 or 12 to 16 or whatever, and we had crap computers back then, but we were taught how to code basic stuff, and
we
had teachers then that were really enthusiastic about it, and they we did it as part of our, like, we did maths, English, we did computers, but we had really good teachers who were into coding and were into showing us what to do, and I learned a hell of a lot from that. So I think a lot of it depends on the teachers, you know, and they're not so much enthusiasm, but I know I have spoke to people since then who are teachers in schools, and they're not allowed to teach certain things like coding, and, you know, like you said, they're not allowed to teach it below a certain age and things. So
I don't understand why. I mean, I learned basic at school, and I don't remember a great deal of it. You know, get $8 if $8 equals less than 6, then go to 4-0. But I have no idea what that actually did in any of the programs I wrote. But I wrote a cricket scoreboard, and I wrote other programs in basic, but it's completely gone. You know, the brain dump has disappeared. And I said to Ellis, I'll learn to code with you. Let's find somewhere where we can learn to code. And he's... No, I just want to hack something. And his idea of hacking is to download a program off the internet that'll do it for him. And it's like, no, that's not hacking.
Start from scratch.
That's being an end user. You know, that's no use at all.
I mean, I've coded for not now, but I've when I started working, I was a coder. And you can learn some stuff by looking at other people's code and hacking away, but you got to start from nothing. Fresh blank piece of paper and a book.
Yeah, no. This is the thing, is that, you know, you say about computer science is available. I think that definition of what computer science is immensely broad, and I know that what Ellis is being taught, I wouldn't class as computer science. He's being taught how to use end-user applications. He's not being taught any science around the computer application or the computer itself.
Yeah, he's being taught administrative skills.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know what? For the longest time at the university, our CS 101 consisted of basically Word, Excel, and PowerPoint. And we all complained to them, like, yo, we came here to learn, like, PHP, JavaScript, and Java at the time. And they eventually changed the name of the course to computer literacy. And, you know, the computer science teacher originally put it up that they shouldn't be listed in the curriculum that way. And administrators all fought with him because they thought it was going to attract people to the school. And, like, literally a bunch of us signed up for class, and we would all drop it, like, within a week. Or we'd ask, could we test out? And it took about 3 years, but before I left the uni, they ended up changing the name of the course. But that's the thing, where academicians assume learning Word, Excel, and PowerPoint somehow makes you a computer person. Like, what?
Yeah, I mean, Serenac says in the chat room, let's face it, computer skills for years was just working office. Jackie didn't say that. Serenax also says Raspberry Pi or Arduino are the way forward for that. So yeah, I mean, I'd love to get Ellis a Raspberry Pi and get him to be able to program it in some way. But school has no intention of teaching him any level of logical programming. None whatsoever.
Yeah. They just hit 5 million units, Raspberry Pi did.
Good on them. Because they deserve every penny that they get.
That's freaking
really
amazing,
good job.
Right?
Yeah, no, I mean, I want to get one of those and get Ellis onto it. And thanks to, Ellis has written to Anders, because I've been bigging Anders up, because he's done the stuff for us on the server with iOS. If you are listening to this and you think, oh, I can't watch the live show because I've only got my iPhone to watch it on, you can use the Proton browser or the Photon browser to watch it live. But we've streamed to iOS and Safari now, so stop what you're doing. And come and join us on a Thursday and Friday listening to the shows, and Monday as well if you want the big show. Not the big show, the Pocket Show or the Gamer Show, because they stream out live as well on iOS. Ellis has got in touch with Anders and said, you know, what should I do? And Anders said, that's not hacking, Ellis. So I'm pleased that he's actually reinforced what I said.
I'm so amazed at Raspberry Pi, especially because the guy was like, yo, we sell a couple of 100,000, we'll be cool.
Just a little.
No, actually, I think
they hit their goal. Good for them. Thousand. Yeah.
Just a touch beyond it. Superb.
I sent you a wide UK link so you can...
Yeah, Raspberry Pi hits 5 million units. Very good. What's the... Your kids are at school, but they're quite young girls, aren't they, Lee?
My daughter's only four, but she she's just gone into school now, and there's a couple of kind of machines around, but most of them are kind of on iPads. I think it's going to be interesting in about 10 years' time, when a lot of that generation are going through school, learning computer sciences and computer studies, what machines they're going to be using.
Yeah, Ellis came back from school, and I downloaded a free program for him. I think it was called Sticks. And it was a stop motion thing where you took circles, lines, squares, oblongs, and you made people out of them, or you made whatever you want out of them, and you animated them around the screen over a period of minutes. And it taught you about logical sequence and that kind of stuff. And I was like, oh, I can see how this is getting kids into programming, because it means they've got to go from here to here in this sequence, and they've got to move in logical, manageable steps rather than jumping to an end and expecting the computer to animate it for them. And I just don't feel like your senior school's built on that at all.
I think
they've walked away from it.
I think one thing I've done is, obviously I was just a bit young to get Ellen in coding, but what we have started doing now, she's a bit older, is we're playing a lot of Super Mario Brothers on the Wii U.
Mm.
And she's learning a lot about logic and puzzles, and that's why she started to show a bit of an interest in it, playing like Lego Batman and stuff on my Vita and on the PS4. So I picked up a Wii U fairly cheap. Went on old school Mario 3D World in this case. And just little things, picking up puzzles, learning a lot of logic, and not coding, but it's the same kind of thought patterns. That's what I've started with. I know it's like gaming rather than sitting down with coding, but she's way too young for that kind of stuff. But it's definitely helping her, like I said, with the decision making.
Yeah. One of the things that's going to be weird is checking out, I mean, not really weird, but one of the things that's going to be interesting to watch, as you say, as this time progresses, is what computer science is going to be, because we're every couple of months redefining computer as these tablets in the various forms and various manufacturers are getting, sort of more advanced and more advanced and more advanced. So even our definition of computer right now is blurry as all get.
Yeah, I mean, she looks at the, I work from home a bit, and she'll pop in sometimes and have my work laptop, my mouse and that, and she'll be looking at the keyboard and mouse and is like, okay. And then she's figured out the mouse, she move around the screen and see the cursor move, but it's not intuitive for her, she's growing up with us having iPhones and iPads around, and we don't give her, a lots and lots of screen time, but she does play a lot of kind of puzzle games and kiddies kind of games on it, and she just finds it bizarre, I think, that we type on a keyboard and use a mouse to do stuff.
Yeah, it's really cute. Before we
call
get off
from
this
Patrice
subject,
Brenda Moore.
Yeah, he's a couple years back. Emma and Grandpa and I were watching baseball, and ESPN, they put up the sports ticker on the bottom to show you what's going on in the other games. And at 2.5 years old, she had the wherewithal to run up to the screen and grab the ticker and attempt to push it down. Well, it just so happened to be an in-game ticker, so it's only there for 20 seconds, and the time it took her to get up, transverse, living room, and push it down, the ticker goes away. And she turns around and looks at Grandpa. Is like, okay, Grandpa, I did that for you. And she sat down, because to her, the sports was in the way. The ticker was in the way of us watching the ball game. So she doesn't.
That's awesome.
From a 2 years old, the idea of being able to tactically control the big screen TV the same way her iPad works.
Ours does that all the time. Well, she doesn't so much now, but she did when, two a bit younger. I'd have the Apple TV on, and the Apple TV's got the big block album art, and the art of the films and stuff up, so she just sees those as blocks. So when it's like a cover art, she's trying to scroll across the screen or tap on the screen, I'm like, no, this doesn't work like that yet. And then I have to explain, this is a controller, and this is so she knows play pause, so she can use the controller now, but it's just intuitive, isn't it, touching stuff like that.
I think that the parallel is a car in certain respects here, because I'm not asking them to teach Ellis to be a mechanic. but all they're doing is teaching him to drive, and I want them to teach him how to check the oil, how to look under the hood, how to check the tire pressures, to do the fundamental mechanics of looking after your own vehicle. And that's what I need them to embark upon while he's at school in terms of coding. I don't need them to teach him, you know, okay, you've got to learn Python by year five and be able to be a web developer. That's not it. But I need him to at least have that spark that drives him towards the fact there is more after he leaves school. There is more when he hits, you know, high school kind of level. And they're not doing that. They're teaching him how to drive the car and nothing else. And it's not good enough. It's really not good enough as a national curriculum. How to change a tyre, says Jackie. There you go. And she spelt tyre wrong. Good grief, woman. How dare you? Leave the chat room now. hello, Patrice. I've blocked you out there, mate. Sorry.
Don't worry.
You're back in, mate.
You're discussing, in. So I didn't want to interrupt.
Well, we were discussing that Doc said that New York schools have effectively made computer science mandatory, but we were kind of discussing about what is computer science, because what they call computer science at my son's school is anything but computer science as far as I would see it. What's Germany like for educational stuff?
They learn in the womb. Look at them.
No, it depends a little bit. I mean, overall, you get the same... I think you discussed it. You basically learn how to use Word and how to use the internet, and that's about it. There are, a little bit later on in high school, there are advanced courses where you can actually learn to code, but yeah,
wow.
They aren't as popular, and sometimes they don't even happen, so it's an optional thing. So
Wrong. Double,
exactly.
Double wrong.
Yeah, and even if they do, I mean, they don't really learn anything useful. I mean, a friend of mine, he's basically just finishing school, and he took the course, and he didn't learn anything worth learning. I mean,
Jackie says that she's dyslexic. I'm dyslexic too, mate, so don't feel bad. When she met Simon, she was illiterate. I think that might be a bit of a leap. I don't think that's probably true. Sounds like he found you in the gutter, woman, drinking gin. One afternoon.
Hopefully good gin.
Oh, yeah, okay. If it's decent gin, then that's fair enough. But not a house sherry. We're not doing that. Good story, Doc. Jeffrey, what did you bring as your story, sir? You have a substitute, right. I know.
I have a story. And it's a different story than what Doc brought, because I had a backup. So my story is about this new 3D printed bubble house design that's been created for human habitats on Mars. So NASA is working on trying to figure out how to effectively build human livable habitats when we eventually send people to Mars. And so one of these designs they're looking at is 3D printed bubble houses. And it looks like you're climbing into an alien pod as opposed to getting inside a house. And nice. So they have a sample. Yeah, there we go. There's the sample photo. And
that looks anyhow quite weird as a printing structure, because it looks like it's got a double frame to it of some description. And there's like bubbles on the inside. It looks like it's been printed really badly.
Yeah, but yeah, it's this multi-layer thing. And yeah, it looks like it's been some weird low resolution error printed thing. And yet it's not. It looks like something that in any other sci-fi movie, you would say, oh my God, don't go in there. That's where you're going to die.
Have you seen, it's not Apollo 18. It's the one where, I can't remember it, but it's where they've got a habitat on one of the planets and they go backwards and forwards because they turn into zombies.
Oh, that sounds vaguely familiar.
Yeah, no, it was an okay film, actually. It wasn't too bad. And I liked Europa as well. That was pretty good. But apart from they showed the scary monster, which they shouldn't have done. So.
I agree. Europa was great all the way up until the last few minutes.
Yeah, there we go.
And then they just ruined the whole movie.
So so the application is actually, when you fly to Mars then, don't take any supplies or building materials. Take a 3D printer with a pile of resin.
Right.
Okay then, right. That's good.
And then build what you need when you get there. Just print it.
Stuff the radiation, eh?
Yeah. You know, wear a tinfoil hat. Protect you from the radiation.
Cool. Well, he looks like there's an orange bloke there, woman or man. He looks like a bloke because of various anatomy, obviously. But he looks like he's actually in a flight suit rather than a space suit.
Well, you know, on Mars, the spacesuits that we would need to wear wouldn't have to be as heavy duty as the spacesuits we wear, like, in orbit around Earth.
Isn't the radiation like 20-fold what it is on Earth?
Well, you need to have the radiation protection, but there's an atmosphere there. And granted, it's a very thin atmosphere, but there is an atmosphere. So you can design your spacesuits in a different way so they don't have to be as bulky on Mars. Mm. But you still need to make sure you have the appropriate heating systems and radiation protection in them. Otherwise, you just cook yourself into some cancer zombie thing really fast.
Yeah, I think you're spitballing there, dude. Steady on.
No, totally. You don't want to turn into a radiation zombie.
So how does that work for you guys? And are you in for that? Are you up for it now that you know that you can 3D print your habitat? Does it make you want to go?
I'm not sure I'd want to wait around while I was waiting for it to print.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. So you print now and it'll be done in 2016 in time for the Olympics?
Well, there's Olympics on Mars.
Olympics on Mars.
I bet the long jump's going to be one.
Because you'd have to print it out in big sections, wouldn't you, and stick it all
and
together.
And then put it together. Yeah.
No, to be honest, I still wouldn't go because there's this whole coming back issue and surviving, even with a 3D printer. So.
Well, you can't. Did you see Buzz Aldrin's comments on this?
No, I didn't.
No, Buzz Aldrin's comments on the flight to Mars is, it's a one-way trip and we should be doing it.
Yeah.
He's not talking about free return trajectories and all that kind of stuff. He's saying we need to be going to Mars and it needs to be one way and we need to start terraforming now.
Okay, two things that I would do with that. I would like to send some prisoners, but they'd have to be proven beyond any reasonable doubt that there's no way that they did not do it. Like the kind that admitted they did it, not the ones that are still thinking.
So we're talking death row.
Australia?
Easy. We have Australian listeners. I do apologise to those Australian listeners. The views of Patrice Bendemore are not those of British Tech Network.
Good.
I would never call you all a bunch of crims. Not without a few beers in me anyway and a rugby match to taunt you with. But go ahead. Go on, Doc.
No, and then...
Death row.
The other thing that I would want to know is what's the ISP like? You know, like, if I can get a good data connection, yeah, I'll go just to get away from a lot of you. But...
Well, it depends what you want to download. If you want to download something from, like, Martian porn or something, then fine, you're okay. But if you want to download Earth porn, it's 20 minutes, mate.
Well, just to get an audio connection. Well, you have to run a VPN anyway to get around the legalization, you know? So, like, in order to hit Netflix USA, I have to use a VPN.
So you're saying that if they go to Mars, there'll be a geo limitation on playing video, so you won't be able to get The Late Show or anything like that?
Mm. That's so lame.
But you will get Moogle Fiber. Or something like
I've
that.
I've gone to Mars. I've risked my life, even though I was on death row, and I can't even get The Late Show because of geolocation stuff.
That's what I'm talking about.
Bastards.
You are not on Earth. This content is blocked.
Yeah, you could find, actually, you could actually find that on Mars, because if you're there and there's only like three of you, because you're three death row prisoners, who aren't going to fight when they get there. I hadn't thought of that, had you? So when they get there, they all sit around and they go, I'll tell you what, we're going to make a new rule, right, because I'm king of Mars now. There's no copyright law on Mars. And then the human race will have progressed. Then the Vulcans will come and they will see us and then we'll go, you're an advanced species. Once we get rid of copyright protection on Mars.
We need to get to Mars away.
Get your ass to Mars.
Yes, please.
You know, we were kids, in the cartoons. The post light would come down and grab people, right?
I'm going to get my film to Mars.
That there's a lady in front, or a guy, and she got the left turn blinker on for like 3 miles. The minute she hit 3.1 mile, the beam would just grab her, car, everything, kids in the back, straight up. That's the shit for leaving your damn blinker on for a moment. Or the people people that park backwards in the parking space and take like an hour to get in the parking space because, you know, they thought like, I'm going to save time by backing in, but they can't get in the space, so they take forever. The thing just whoop out of here. Ghost.
All I can take it.
So it's not...
I like that idea.
I got it all wrong. So I thought you wanted death row prisoners to go to Mars, and actually what you want is old Chinese ladies who take forever to turn left.
This guy with Patrice about the Australian comment, and he came out with the old Chinese ladies. Okay, yes, I'll take that.
Just no, what's the American? No, there's an, I was paraphrasing there because there's an American series that talks about old Chinese ladies, like old Chinese ladies driving. I can't remember which one it is, but
yeah,
it's kind of like it's kind of like Breaking Bad, but it's not Breaking Bad. There you go.
Yeah, that would be cool.
I think it was a good story, Jeff. Did we stay on topic? I'm not sure.
We absolutely stayed on topic.
Thanks, man. Right, Lee, what did you bring, man?
Mine's just gone in. So mine's Amazon's race to the bottom in terms of hardware. So, you know they've discontinued the Fire Phone now. I think I read a stat somewhere saying that they'd sold 16,000 of them in total.
No!
I think they've kind of realized that, you know, that wasn't going to fly, you know, selling that for, you know,
I can't believe they sold 16,000. I don't think they sold nearly that many.
They've announced today that they've got some new hardware. So there's a $50, I think it's actually £50 too for us in the UK, tablet, a 7-inch tablet, which you can buy a pack of six for $249.
$250. Yeah, I saw
that. It's in its own little carry. If you look at that link that I sent through, there's a little picture. Just in the first couple of paragraphs, which shows the kind of carry case with six of them in there. You get one free, you buy five, get one free. But I thought the thing that was interesting
they've
updated the Fire TV now, the $99 one, to play 4K video. I mean, it wouldn't help me because my broadband's crappier, but I thought that was interesting play, putting that in that $99 device, because we haven't got one personally, but quite a few of my relatives have got the Fire Sticks and the Fire TVs, and they are actually pretty good. I've used them a few times. I thought that was quite a big play, putting 4K, even though it was only going to hit some content. It's not, I think, I mean, overall, kind of rather than me bubbling on, is I think Amazon have found their place in the market now. Is that low end, $149 and less for tablets, you know, TV sticks.
So you're saying Amazon's place in the market is peddling shit.
Well, not so much shit, but I think that low end market. If I was another tablet maker,
oh, the Fire TV
in that
low
end market, I'd be a bit worried. But I just think it's interesting that they put out the Fire Phone, you know, with kind of high expectations, you know, of the product, sold, you know, hardly any, and now they've taken a step back and said, okay, this just hit the market that we know we can get. I think that $50 tablet, you know. I've not tried one, but from what I've read in multiple sources is they actually supposed to be pretty good. You know, the screen on them is obviously going to be a little bit cheaper, but apparently it's good for the money. I just thought it was really interesting the way they were marketing it.
Isn't it extremely high res?
Well, they've been comparing it to various Samsung tabs, and they from what I've read on some of the sites, is they say, and the display on those is actually equally as good as the Samsung
level.
That's like three times more expensive.
No, I heard it was. I thought it was retina level.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that. But I know, you know, the only thing that kind of puts me off a bit is obviously they've got their own skin over the top of it. It's Lollipop with is it Fire OS? Is that what they call it? That goes over the top. That's skinned, and I've used that a couple of times, and it's not too bad. On the Fire TV, it works quite well. But I mean, what do you guys think about a $99 box where you can play 4K?
Dude, I'm pressing buttons right now. Why are you guys over there yakking about it? It's about to get on the way.
Well, Amazon's thing with their hardware isn't about the hardware specifically. It's about creating platforms that act as a catalyst to sell the other things that they sell.
Good point.
It's about selling devices that access a catalog, basically, that act as an entry point to the catalog Amazon is offering.
You say that, but actually, they give so much away as Amazon Prime for video, which is, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of stuff on there now. I'd say that some of the stuff that they're producing at the moment is easily as good as Showtime or Netflix or any of those kind
definitely.
Of premium producers.
Yes.
I could see them bunging this in with a Prime membership. You know, it's that cheap. I know they've. Yeah, I don't think it'll sway people to get a Prime membership, but I think it might be. We could see that come in potentially.
Do you know, I bought Prime membership 2 years ago and I haven't renewed it yet.
No, I like my Prime membership as much as...
No, they just forget.
Oh, you haven't renewed it?
No, so the thing is, every time I order something, if there's, like, typically, once every 3 months, there'll be a cock-up on an order. Like, I ordered this and it said it was going to be here today and I waited in and it didn't come and now I'm here tomorrow. Okay, no problem, we'll extend your Prime membership by a month. And they do that once every 3 months, guaranteed. And I've had any number of extensions from 1 month to 3 months at a time. And I bought it on the first year, and I've never paid any more Prime membership. And I've had 3 years out of it now because they f*** up a delivery. I've got to edit now. 40 minutes. They screw up a delivery, and I then complain, and they go, okay, here's some extra Prime membership. And the problem with the Brits is they don't complain. All you do is you can say, hello, you screwed up my order, and they go, that's okay, fine, have this, we're awfully sorry.
I good don't to know. The same volume as you do, though, that's the problem.
Well, I'm a good customer in inverted commas.
Sometimes it pays to be in the UK.
No, it pays to Amazon, because the thing is, you talk to customer services in Panama or wherever it is, and... I don't know where their actual customer services is, but the accents of people there sound like it's Philippines or Panama or you know, something like that. It's an off-world or an off-country.
Off-world?
Not off-world.
Off-world. Maybe it's on Mars.
Maybe, actually, I should edit that more than I should edit the... I didn't mean off-world. I meant it's an out-of-country tech support. I don't think it's American support. I think it's the Philippines or a Panama or a Mexico or, you know, somewhere like that, or an island. I've lost my train of thought now. I can't remember what it is.
Philippines or so Panama or island.
I know, that's
But the point is that that you ring them up and the customer support you get is the same the world over. And if you just say, this happened and I'm upset, they go, okay, fine, we'll extend your Prime membership. There you go. They love having you as Prime members. They're good. They're great. I've got to say, Keith Chegwin tweeted out today that he was led to believe that a Panasonic HD camcorder that he was recommended was better quality than it actually was and he needed to return it. He said, oh, I hate returning stuff. And I tweeted to him and said, well, why don't you just use Amazon? Order three of them, find the two that you don't like and send them back and keep the one that you do like. And he DM'd me back saying, that's a good point. And with Doc, he said, oh, try this one or this one. And I ordered both sets of earphones because, yeah, all right, my initial outlay is going to be £200. But when the two come in, I go, I like that one, I don't like that one, and I send that one back, and they give me an instant refund as soon as it's received in the collection point. I get my refund. I don't even have to wait till it's received back at their offices. Amazon is a customer service market at the moment, most definitely. It's a buyer's marketplace.
Yeah, I've had stuff on Amazon where I've asked for a refund, and they've said, I'll just use the money, just keep it.
Some of the stuff, yeah, they told me to keep some leads that I bought once. But.
So stay on Amazon, but just slightly different. Well, kind of related. Do you think that the Amazon streaming app is going to come to the Apple TV?
Hope so.
I would say yes.
I say no. I bet Amazon wants it to, but I bet Apple isn't going to do it because Apple wants to do their own streaming service.
Mm. Yeah, but they've got Netflix and Hulu.
Yeah, but Apple likes Netflix and they're okay with Hulu. Apple doesn't like Amazon.
I think if Apple was okay with Amazon being there, Amazon would already be there because I'm pretty sure they tried.
Yeah, Apple's got this problem of wanting the 30% of the sale, haven't they? Like the in-app purchase type thing. So
also true.
Doc, that story has got to be the most ludicrous thing I've ever seen.
What?
I've just seen it.
The one I sent to Jeff.
I don't even have to read it. I just read the link.
Yeah, no, a woman was pulled over on a traffic violation, but actually charged with having a fully loaded and chambered round of a Smith & Wesson in her privates.
Mm-hmm.
That's unbelievable. In fact, it reminds me of an old joke. that Diana and Charles got pulled over by some terrorists, and they stole the Range Rover they were in, and they stole the Range Rover, all the protection team and that kind of stuff, and ran off with it. And Charles turns to Diana and says, "Where's your ring, darling?" And she said, "I put it in a private place so that no one would find it." And he said, "That's a shame Auntie Margaret's not here. We could have hidden the Range Rovers as well."
Oh, my God.
The reason I can tell that joke is, A, I'm not going to get an MBE, and B, she's dead. So. The Americans don't get that. Right.
That was really funny.
Thank you. The link's in the chat room. If you wanted to know, now here's the thing, you see, if we banter on about something that's in the chat room, but we don't actually say what it is, because, you know, it's wholly inappropriate, like Duck's story was there, all you've got to do is go to britishnetwork.com/chat, and then click on the relevant day when the show was. So today it's Thursday the 17th of September. Click on that, and you'll get a full transcript of everything that went on in the chat room. And all the links, inappropriate as well, will be in there. Some of them could be Muller's videos and that kind of stuff. But be careful what you click, and be careful of the language, because it can be colourful in there. But you can watch all of the stuff. So if you're saying, "Oh, I was listening to the show and you talked about this link and you didn't put it in the show notes and you're a bunch of bastards, where can I get the link?" Go to the chat, britishchatnetwork.com/chat. Look on the relevant day when the show was recorded. Thursday for Big Show, Friday for Max Show, Monday for Gamer and for Pocket, and you'll find the link in there. There we go. So check it out.
And a lot of the stuff you probably don't want to go look.
Serenax says, "Think before you click," and I couldn't agree with that. And I endorse that comment. There we go. Yeah.
Can you imagine, though, the likelihood of getting an infection by carrying a gun that way?
I don't think it's the infection that I'd be worried about.
The loaded part. Yeah.
It was chambered. Forget about loaded. It's not. We're not talking a magazine in the base, and that's the end of it. We're talking about there was a round.
Chambered. Yeah, there was a round in the chamber also. Yeah.
That's.
So if you accidentally do a Kegel and blow your own brains out.
To be fair, for that to go off, you needed a cock. But.
Hey. What if you get?
So if you're playing around just outside. And it discharges. Does that mean it went off half cocked?
Around in the chamber, is that a euphemism? Except Jack, about which spent euphemism F and is him.
Yeah.
So how do you explain?
The funny thing about
the
story is
weird
that
discharge.
I think they mentioned, or the police mentioned, that it actually happens more than this once. It's actually something they have very regularly.
Well, how did they find it?
It does happen a lot.
Yeah.
Well, she was actually charged with possession of an illegal substance.
Yeah, well, sure. Okay, so here's how it works. If you're going to arrest her for the gun thing, you need to have probable cause. And so that is the reason for the original contact or stop. And in this case, it was for the drug-related stuff. So they had to charge her for the drugs to establish probable cause for the search so that they could justify why they were able to find this gun stashed away where
search?
The sun never shines.
Like, what was searching? Did they do the wand and the wand kept beeping? Like, those parts are left out.
Can
the
we?
Store.
Can we actually? Let's
no,
be
she
fair.
Finally fessed up because she was afraid that it was going
it was
to
go
off.
Off.
Yeah.
To be fair, we've wandered off because this is a tech show and this there's nothing technologically advanced about this. So, yeah.
It was on the internet.
Here you go.
Moving on. Patrice, I know you came late, but did you bring a story for us?
I actually did. I had a few minutes to figure
out. Please tell
out.
Me it's about a woman that was smuggling a gun.
Please save us. And no. I apologize to Lee because I have no idea how we got from your story to that.
You can blame Doc on that one.
Yeah.
My story is actually Doc. About 3D printing and lockpicking.
Oh.
I don't know whether you saw that story. I think a few weeks back, the Washington Post, they posted a picture of those TSA keys, basically. The keys where you can unlock basically any kind of luggage when it comes to an airport. And they, in a story, they just took a picture, posted it, and then removed it. But of course, it's the internet, so...
someone kept it.
That thing leaked. And then a few guys basically created a 3D model based on the pictures 3D printed it, and apparently it works. So if you're using if you have luggage with a TSA lock, then you should probably put another one on there.
You've got to say, they're so technologically advanced that they actually beat a TSA lock with a 3D printer and then shot the results in portrait video.
Yes.
Steady on.
Yes.
Thank you, Ewan. Thank you. Because I hate that. Does me insane.
Well, no, I did say actually last week, I went on DTNS after the big show last week, and one of the things was, you know, oh, portrait video, we've got a thing to fix that portrait video. I actually shot something for a TV screen that was mounted portrait, and I shot it in portrait video. And it was a really good medium. And if I do anything on that, I've got a green screen in the other room behind the green screen that's here, that you can actually walk along. And if I do anything in there on green screen, I always turn the camera portrait, because then I can get the person bigger in the frame, and they're a higher resolution effectively. And once I've dropped out the green, I can resize them infinitely in a 1080 frame. Mm,
so, okay, that makes sense.
You know, portrait.
Oh, yeah, that totally makes sense.
There's an awful lot of positives to shooting portrait, especially if you're shooting them full length. Always shoot them in portrait full length, because then when you blow it up into a 1080, you can go from the torso up, and as much as you squeeze and shrink, all you ever do is increase resolution. So. So is the pattern for this TSE key out there now? So have all the keys got to change, or?
Oh, they're not
apparently
change,
yes. Though. They've even uploaded the 3D models to GitHub, so you can basically download them. And given, I mean, you need the 3D printer and the correct software, you can print your own keys. So, I mean, it's out there. I don't know what they will do about it, because, I mean, changing the keys is probably the only solution. But so, that also means that I mean, all the luggage that has been sold so far.
So this is like the equivalent of it's been posted on MakerBot webpage.
Yeah.
In SketchUp.
Yeah. Well, the specs for these keys are not anything that's been overly secret anyhow. The big change here is that someone has just posted on GitHub how to print your own. Because these keys, when companies make TSA approved locks, well, they're just following a standard. And so they're just building a lock that's keyed to the standard key. So anyone that has any level of access to the key system or to that data, and from what I understand, it's not protected that well, they've got it, and then they can just make their own keys. So this isn't changing that. It's just making it easier for a wider audience to make your own TSA keys.
I mean, and
the TSA locks are not safe on any level. No. They're not security locks.
Well, the thing is, if you've got the pattern, effectively, you could print that out on a printer in photographic paper, and you could scratch that pattern into a spoon and undo a TSA lock. It's not, you know, if someone put a PDF online that was the correct and actual size, then that would be dead easy to replicate.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't suppose this is any worse than that.
No, we used to use tape and a Coke bottle to make keys, and it totally worked to open lockers.
A Coke bottle as in a glass Coke bottle or a plastic one?
No, the Lexan.
Right.
Actually, I can probably find you a YouTube video. I guarantee you it's out there, but that's super old school. Like more than 10 years old. I guarantee you there's one. I'm going to look up Coke bottle keys.
Yeah, I mean, Bookery makes a good point in the chat room and then a bad one. He said TSAs are a minor stumble to stop anyone instantly looking into a bag, which is true.
Yeah, true.
And Bookery also says, I use TSA approved 12345 password. Are luggage locks that difficult? I mean, if you've got a tumbler roller, you know, 0 to 9, tumbler locks, all you've got to do is put pressure on the one end, and as you roll it, when you hit the right one, it wobbles anyway. So that's how you used to go and do bike locks. You used to just pull them backwards and forwards and then wobble, and when it moved, you knew you got the right number.
You can tell Ewan and I grew up in the hood.
No. What that tells us is we grew up in the 70s, where you had tumbler bike locks without keys.
Oh, the best one was when you figured out that you could open a kryptonite lock with a toilet paper roll and a Bic pen.
Yeah, the Bic pen cap thing. Yeah.
Yeah. like, I was like, wow, they just defeated one of the most expensive locks that everybody on campus has with the freaking pin that everybody on campus has. So that was, and bike theft went stupid just because people were testing it out. It was super dumb.
Deep Pan says you can open Kingston laptop locks with a toilet roll tube.
Yep. Yeah.
Got to look at that video. And Doc has posted a link for a YouTube video on how to do it properly. There we go. We've upset Cutie Mill and she's left the chat room. Do apologise.
Sorry, Cutie Melon.
I forgot that she was in there and we may have said a few things that were inappropriate for her age. Do apologise, Jackie and Simon. Sorry. This podcast and all this is brought to you by UK2. God, we love them. They've been with us now for nearly 6 years. They've looked after us immensely. They've given us servers galore. We have the live streaming comes out of the 100 TB server, which is an affiliate of UK2. If you're using Flash, you'll get our show 2 seconds delayed. If you're not, that now has a piece of software on it that means that you get us in iOS, Windows Phone, anything else that is not Flash-based and uses HTML5. You can watch us on that too. Go to britishnetwork.com/live and just press play and it should just work with a 30-second delay. That's the software that's on the server. So if you're saying, oh, you know, it's massively delayed, the server can't be that good, it's not the server, it's the software on the server. If you're watching on Flash, you still get it at 2 seconds delay to the world, so Chrome or other enabled software that's got Flash on it. Check them out, britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors, and you'll get offer codes for UK2, for domains, for co-location services, for hosting, for VPN, VPS, all of that type of stuff. And also you can go to britishtechnetwork.com/UK2 and that'll take you in. And if you use that as your login, so every time you log into your server, you go through that link, we get the kudos for the fact that you're a returning customer that BTN generated for UK2. They love us to bits and we absolutely adore them. They've really looked after us. And when we've had any issues or anything like that, they really just jump up and go the extra mile to try and solve it and to try and put it right, even if they have got it wrong. They're absolutely brilliant. Someone's back in as Electric Banana now. I think that's Danielle. So, hi, Danielle. Caricatures. A couple of people wrote to me this week and said, oh, what's happened with the caricatures? Because you haven't mentioned them for the last few weeks. We've been off for the summer. But we've had a couple of people over the summer that have sent their caricatures off to Len to get done. Thank you very much to those people. I will get your stuff over to you, but as I say, yesterday was the first day off I've had since July, so I've had other things at mind, if you like. The wall downstairs, the wall of shame, is filling up. I've been putting them up over there. If you'd like your caricature, then all you've got to do is send us an email to btncaricatures@gmail.com. We'll give you the details of how to get your caricature done and you will go on the wall of shame. You will get your artwork that you can put onto your, this is Dan Rodriguez's, you can get your artwork that you can put onto your iPad or your iPhone, and you'll also get a Twitter icon that you can use on social media and that kind of stuff. So thanks to everyone who's done that, and I will send you some stuff through in the next couple of weeks. I do apologise for the delay on that, and I do apologise to Lee formally for not posting the guitar show this week, but I will get it up, I promise.
All right.
I just haven't had time. Right, it's time for the cool thingy, and I've got to say, I think I'm salivating because I think this could be a good one for me. I don't know why. I just got this feeling that it's going to be a good cool thingy around. Doc?
You shouldn't have said that. I'm going for the $28,000 cool thing. Because it's just cool. I'm not saying anybody should buy one, but it's super, super cool. Okay, so there is a company that is putting out a $28,000 Star Wars watch. And according to you, and it's the ugliest thing running.
Oh, this
may be true.
Dude, this is an ugly fudger.
But as a nerd, you're kind of going to salivate over it anyway. It's the most insane thing ever, but it's 28 grand and it's well made. Like, it uses a series of bands in order to help you tell the time. The batteries run for something like 2 weeks and it's just pretty freaking incredible.
So the guy that's sitting showing this thing off, he's sitting with his arm folded out in front like, high.
I don't think he can lift up his arm.
Well, exactly. He's like, I'm high, and I'm sitting here, and clearly you can see that I'm wearing the Devon watch. And he's trying to sell it like he's the Shermanator. It's just not cool, and it's massive, and it's supposed to be like a TIE fighter. And
well, because it's made out of titanium. That's part of the joke.
I did warn you when you said, can I pick this as a cool thing? I did say, do expect some piss taken here, because that is an ugly fudging watch, mate. And at 28 grand, I don't care if it's powered by rock bands, never mind rubber bands. I think that's a bit much.
But you got to know that there are people out there that obviously buy it because the other Devon watches always sell out. And they only make 100 a piece. And like this one is going to be 500 because it's Star Wars, but they always sell out. And like if you go online and you look to find even an old school Devon, they're still super expensive. So somebody's buying it.
Yeah.
Don't know who, but somebody's buying it.
Someone with serious needs to see a therapist.
Yeah, people are going to buy the crap out of that. Well, 500 people will.
Well, okay. So it's funny. We look at that and I can say that, right? Now you take your average football. Let's stick to something, even some of your rugby players. Some of those guys make what this watch costs every second, and yet they play a 60-minute game.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So to those kind of people, it's not even a thought. Like, that's called Saturday night at the pub.
I just, there's certain things I just won't buy. I won't spend more than 100 quid on a pair of shoes, because I'm sorry, it's just not worth it. You wear them out, and you buy another pair. Things that are, and things like watches. I got myself a lovely Tag years and years and years ago when I could barely afford one, because I always wanted one because of the Grand Prix. And I've never bought another watch since until I bought the Apple Watch, and it's, which I love. But I just think, look at that. I think, okay, if you're going to sell me a 28 grand watch, and I think this is true of the Hublots. You look at the Hublots and you go, okay, that's a 35 grand watch or something like that. And you're like, yeah, but it looks fudging ugly. And they are. They're not beautiful watches. They don't look crafted. My dad has got a gold Ben something or Bentima watch, and it's a beautifully crafted. I mean, it is thin like you wouldn't believe. It is wafer thin, and it's got a full mechanism. It keeps time like you wouldn't believe. You have to wind it up. Do you remember doing that? But it's a thing of beauty. It's a thing of craftsmanship. It's not some ugly piece of shit that you can't get off the desk, which is what Hublot looks like to me. Discuss.
See, I love you.
I hope it's got a license. Is it even licensed?
Yes, it is.
It is, isn't it?
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a big Star Wars fan, but our thing is, though, if you buy expensive watches, you can normally, you know, if you do have to sell it, you can normally get a lot of your money back with this one.
Normally more.
Yeah, I mean, do you reckon this would be like a collector's, could you see people buying this from a collector's perspective? You know, it's not what's collector's fan.
If you sell this on the day that Lucas like buys the farm, you can probably get about 35 grand for it.
Do you really think that 8 grand is enough compensation for walking around with this piece of shit on your arm?
Nah, you don't even want to wear it. You're just going to like have it, post pictures that you have it, be Insta rich on Instagram for a little while. And then leave it in the TIE fighter stand it comes with. Yeah, let it raise money.
Everyone in the chat room has been going, where's Muller? Where's Muller? Where's Muller for the whole time that we've been broadcasting? And he's turned up and he's going, sorry, but busty. Hey!
Made but busty.
I'm glad the operation went well, mate. Do I want a live audience tomorrow? That would be fine. In fact, actually, Muller's been here, and old Mark from Hoya came down last week. AZ's been over, I know, in the evenings. If you want to come and watch any of the shows and throw abuse from in the web studio with me, then we're always open. Just turn up or email me, and I'll tell you the address. Come along and watch the show and do what you like. Throw tomatoes, anything you fancy.
You know what? That's
8
funny,
p.m. For Big Show and 3 p.m. for Max Show. What, mate?
You know what the United States euphemism for turn up means?
Turning up, no.
Yeah, it means to get shit-faced drunk.
Well, that too.
So that's why it's funny, because that's what Miller does when he comes.
Well, he's been pretty good, actually. He drove home last time after the last show. He hadn't drunk that much. And Batwin says she's having her Hoya thing in mid-October. I guess that's a fitting for her glasses. Otherwise, it's something to do with a coil, maybe, or something like that. I don't know. But good thing, Doc. Thanks, mate. Won't be getting one, though. Jeffrey, what's your cool thing?
Mine's a little bit more affordable, and it sticks with the Star Wars theme.
Good man.
Mine is Sphero's BB-8.
Oh, you beat me to it.
Yeah.
Did that last week.
Oh, really? Well, I'm going to do it again, because I'm here. And, okay, so this thing is as awesome as you think it may be. Yeah, it just works wonderfully. Letting it roll around and beep and chirp and annoy the cat is absolutely fantastic. Uh-huh. And this thing is just way too much fun. And
have you done the hologram thing yet?
I haven't done the hologram thing yet because it doesn't... The hologram thing doesn't actually do anything that really got me excited about driving the thing around, but zipping this around my place or putting it in its what do they call it? Not discovery mode.
Patrol mode.
Explore mode.
Yeah, the patrol mode. Explore mode.
Patrol. That's right.
Yeah, letting it go out and just roam around and bounce off the walls and do robot cussing. Because it hit the wall and shake its little head and spin off another direction. Totally awesome. My cat isn't exactly pleased with this. She jumped up on my desk yesterday and walked over to BB-8 in its charger and knocked his head off and then hopped off the desk and went about her business. So apparently...
Well, she took a shit on your desk.
Yeah, that would be just awesome. Jeff,
because I've been making perverse holograms and sending it to all of my friends with BB-8s. Because then when they put it together, you can see my little picture comes out, and it says really messed up things. So I will send you.
Honestly, I hadn't thought about doing that. Now you've That's given what me I've been a, doing a with reason it. To want to exactly. do that.
I think you could send them.
You remember the movie Real Genius where they yes. did the God through the speakers? I did that to my friend Chad. Please take your hands off. You get it.
That's awesome.
What?
You have to see the movie Real Genius to understand.
Okay.
And the question in the chat room that keeps coming up is, will it do sexy things? And the answer is yes. Yes, it will. You just need to aim it appropriately when you send it rolling on its way, and the rest is up to you.
See, I hate you guys because mine is downstairs. Not everybody's showing theirs off.
Oh, I love oh shit.
Wow, Yui, what the heck was that?
Oh, crap.
I think he fell off his chair or something.
Can you hear me?
You okay, Ewan?
No, I lost my battery pack.
I've fallen and I can't get up.
I lost my battery pack. My earpiece packet was... There we go. What was the name of the girl that did the thing with the pistol earlier? Because I think she'd probably have a different goal with that BB-8.
Amanda Cassandra or something.
Amanda Cassandra. There you go.
Yeah. Putting BB-8 in explore mode for her has a totally different meaning.
you guys finding that the charge is lasted on yours? I'm getting probably about an hour, I guess, which is about what it says, isn't it? It says about an hour or so.
Isn't that what the old Sphero did, though?
I'm not sure. I never
think it's
had
the same as the old Sphero, a little bit shorter.
No, I thought Sphero was about an hour. So
you get a great charging dock for this one, though.
Oh, yeah, the charging dock is awesome.
I keep meaning to get one, but I haven't.
So, for those of you that haven't seen the charging dock, there you go. It's a nice little Star Wars-themed dock. And right here, there's little lights that will flash blue.
Flash blue.
When it's charging.
Is it USB?
Nice.
It's USB.
Yes. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
If someone
150 bucks. It's awesome.
If someone in my house would put a Norwich football scarf on, it would get shanked, says Electric Banana. I think you need to see Righty for that one. Muller also says, my Lumia took a dive into the trolley. I'm not sure if that's a euphemism for something else either. Mr. Peterson, what have you got for us as a cool thing?
Yeah, well, keeping on the droid theme, I'm just putting mine into the chat room, but mine's Lego Wall-E. You just see on my camera, there's a bit of a delay, so I can't see it on mine yet. But this was delayed. I don't, Jeff, if you can see the head spinning.
It was delayed because of the problem, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So yep, the wobbly head.
There is a bit of the wobbly head is a bit of a thing. There is a bit of a problem. So it's basically this just came out in the UK. I've had it for about 2 weeks, but there was a delay on it because there's the problem with this mechanism where the head's a bit wobbly, which mine is, but it's not a big problem. But the set is 21303 if anyone's interested, but it's just cool. I mean, can you see him on the camera? He's got the little drawer there, opens, got little wheels. You even get this little flower. Mm. See the plant?
It is good.
And Jeff, you've got yours on order, I think. Is that right?
No, you can't even order them in the United States. So rumor is sometime next week they'll be available in the United States again. I'm watching, and I check every day to see if they have an update.
It's a good one. It took about, I think it was probably about 3 hours to do. For those in the UK, you can get them in John Lewis. So I picked this up in John Lewis. So the funny thing was, I went to John Lewis actually to have a look, and I took a picture and I put it on Twitter, and I got back to work and Jeff was like, holy crap, they've got Wally. I was like, what? I looked at the picture again, and I was like, crap, I missed it. I could have picked that up early because it wasn't even out. They weren't even supposed to be selling it.
Right.
And the funny thing was, at the time, I remember someone looking really shifty, one of the staff, and taking a load of yellow boxes away. And he looked at me because I took a picture of the shelves. And I saw him having a look at me as he walked past, and he was carrying a load of yellow boxes. And then when Jeff said, that's Wally there, I put 2 and 2 together, and I was like, oh, yeah, they've put it out early. So I did actually go into the shop and say, you know, have you got them? And they said, yeah, but we're not allowed to sell it. But what was really funny was I went on I think it was out on the Monday, and I went on the Saturday with a few friends, and we was looking at all the Lego, and there was a guy next to us, and he could see we were looking, and he looked over to us, and he goes, are you guys looking for Wally as well? And we were like, yeah. He goes, yeah, there's rumors that they've got them here, but they won't sell them. It was just like, I don't go on Lego forums and stuff, but I don't know whether the word had got out that John Lewis was supposedly stocking them early, but I just ordered it online and then went and picked it up in the morning, but on the Monday morning. But yeah, it's a fantastic set. Probably my favourite of all of them so far, I think.
In the 1970s, that story was about grown men hanging around a brothel. Now it's men hanging around a Lego store.
Well, he did have a trench coat on, which was weird.
Ah.
And he had like a duffel bag type thing. And my mate looked over to him and he was like looking a bit shifty.
Can I see your
Wally? And he just looked at us. He's like, you guys looking for Wally? And I felt like, yes.
apparently Batwing says they are available in the UK store, so Lego store.
Oh, okay.
I've got the only problem I've got with Lego at the moment is I look at the old stuff that was like going back with Ellis sort of like 5 years ago, and the stuff looked like Lego, and it was like Lego that you could, if you broke the thing to pieces, so you buy like a Star Wars destroyer and you could break it apart and use those pieces in a Lego kit. And a lot of the stuff that comes out at the moment now, particularly that Wall-E toy, it's like it's built to make the Wall-E toy. And yes, it connects like Lego, but actually there's a bit
of Star Wars ones tend to be really specialized. But like Wall-E, that's mostly standard pieces.
Yeah, really?
Because
it doesn't look like it. It looks...
You're talking about the bigger prefab pieces, right, Ewan? Because I agree with you. There's so many portions of it. The segments are big prefab. Whoa.
This one has a bunch of customized pieces because they printed stuff.
Yeah.
This is the new TIE Fighter from...
That's on my list, that one.
That's the first order one, yeah?
It's the first order TIE Fighter. And, they did all the silkscreened pieces on it. And that's a problem.
I'm not trying to call it out or anything. I'm just there's a bit of me kind of a bit uneasy with the fact that they look like models that you could just buy rather than build. Whereas that one doesn't, I suppose. But
Wall-E
does.
Legos are great. It's kind of like doing puzzles in a way for me. It's a good distraction. You know, it takes your mind off stuff. It's
an airfix kit for people cool with no patience. No.
Yeah.
It's an airfix kit for people with no patience.
I saw the Mini Cooper in real life, and it was pretty amazing.
Fair enough. Mr. Patrice, what have you got for us, sir?
Yeah, I'm sorry I can't keep up with you and your really cool toys. My pick is an app update. It's version 6 of 1Password for iOS. They just updated it, and there's a completely new UI, or redesigned UI. It's a little bit more blue, a little bit more modern now. They've also added quite a few iOS 9 features like slide over and split screen. You can use more stuff, or you can show more stuff on the Apple Watch, and I think you can even lock it now with Force Touch on the Apple Watch. So it's a really, really good and really solid update. I really enjoyed it, and yeah, it's 1Password. So I mean, what else can I say? It's a really great app.
From a really it's a great nice company. Clean look to the to this update.
How much does it cost?
It's free.
I don't know. I got the update for free. So.
Oh, okay. You got the update for free, but the original software is about £80.
I'm pretty sure you can get it for free on iOS.
Or iOS. Let me check.
Yeah, okay. My cool thing, while Patricia's that, is on Amazon Prime. And it is, not my pictures. There you go. It's Hand of God with Ron Perlman. I do like Ron Perlman. I have to say he's
fantastic.
I wouldn't say he's one of the great actors or anything like that, but he's an actor that I like watching. That maybe sounds a paradox, but in this, he's excellent. He plays a corrupt judge who finds God and has hallucinations / visions / interventions from God, because you never actually know. And I'm only 3 episodes in, so I'm not really far enough in to say that I fully understand it, perhaps, but the season 1 trailer, you know, episode 1 ends with you know, you're never actually sure whether he's just a psycho who's a corrupt judge, or whether he's actually right and he really is seeing corrected visions from a higher being. It's incredibly well done, and Ron Perlman's brilliant in it, and if you've got Amazon Prime, it's a must watch, I would say. Most definitely. Really, really good. Yep.
And he's so Hellboy. Awesome. That's all you need to know.
Well, yes. Yeah, he's originally Hellboy, of course, but
he's great.
He's a good actor. I said he's not one of the greats, but I do like watching Ron Perlman. He's a nice actor to watch. I find him. There you go. So an interesting actor, and he's on Twitter. And I can't get over this. He's on Twitter. His account's not verified, and he's only got like 150,000 followers.
Wow.
He does keep calling people motherfudges on there, so that may be a reason he's only got 150,000 followers, but there you go.
Yeah.
Apparently he was also Beauty in Beauty and the Beast.
I knew Bat Wench was going to call that out. I would have been disappointed if she hadn't.
Excellent. Where can we get a hold of you, Doctor?
Can I go on. I checked, the app is actually free for iOS, and the Pro features are $7.99, so it's not that expensive.
Brilliant. Good on you. Where are you, Doc?
You can find me all over the British Dead Network in various shows around. And also, I am currently working on rebuilding the blog, so it'll be back up soon.
Excellent. Where are you, Jeffrey Boy?
I'm hanging out over at MacObserver.com and FreshBrewedTales.com. And on Twitter, I'm Jay Gamut. And then I'm on a buttload of podcasts.
No kidding. Good man.
Yeah.
Lee, where are you, sir?
So you can see me all over the British Network, including the Guitar Show, on Twitter at LJPUK, and my site, where you can kind of see a lot of my tech writing, is waitingtodownload.net.
Excellent. Patrice, thank you so much for diving back in from work and jumping straight on the show, mate. I do appreciate you coming in to sub on here. And well done for having a story and a pick, which is pretty cool. Where can we get a hold of you, pal?
On the Mac Show tomorrow.
Yeah.
And also on Twitter at @casual_kitchen. On my blog is thepatrice.com. And on the Tech Hangout, thetechhangout.com, which I'm going to miss today because I'm here. So
thanks, mate. I do appreciate it. My name is Ewan Rankin. Get me out here on Twitter. Ewan Rankin on Twitter, EwenRankin. We'll be back next week with the big show on Thursday night as normal. And the Mac Show's tomorrow at 3 as well. You can come and join that. Gaming Show's back on Monday, and Pocket Show's making a return soon as well. So keep an eye out for that one. And also The Pinch is back. And if the chat room get their asses in gear and find us a topic to talk about, there'll be a pinch after this show as well. Thanks for listening. See you next week.